Blog Talk Radio.
I release all disappointment from my mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional body. 'Cause I know that spirit guides me and love lives inside me. That's why today I take life as it comes.
Greetings, everyone. This is Professor Jamila Franklin. Thank you again for joining us for Higher Consciousness, the Blog Talk Radio show that addresses metaphysical, spiritual, political, and social concerns from a higher perspective. And as always, I am so very, very pleased and honored that you joined us this evening. This show airs from 7 until 9 p.m. And I always give background information about myself. Usually I give background information. I am a certified Reiki master, energy medicine practitioner, certified aromatherapist, holistic life coach, college professor, and I own several businesses. And I am so pleased because I wanted to have a platform to allow guests to give you information about topics that are not normally covered in mainstream media. And with this platform that I provide via this talk show, you're able to call in and ask the guests questions that are relevant. And the only ground rule is that you respect the guests on the show. This is not a show for political debates. So when you call in, you're asking a question, and we're having a very high vibrational conversation and dialogue. The call-in number is 1-818-572-8023, and you press 1. Again, the call-in number is 1-818-572-8023, and you press 1. This show has been on the air since October 22nd. 2012. We've had over 46,400 downloads, and I'm so thankful to each and every one of you because you have made the show a success. And as I stated before, I'm very thankful to you for doing so. And I encourage you to invite your friends and family members and co-workers and colleagues to listen to the show as well. And if you're unable to listen to the show live, you can always listen to it archived. Immediately after each show, it becomes available via the archives. So you can always access the information by going online and putting in the link, and it will bring up the show. Or you because the call-in number would no longer be activated, but you can just click on the link, and the show will come up to see shows on demand, which means those are previously aired shows. So tonight we have a very, very interesting topic. And for those of you who are interested in the field of entertainment, the show will be very, very appropriate for you. The title for tonight's show is How to Be Successful in the Field of Entertainment. And our wonderful guest this evening is attorney Kendall Minter, internationally acclaimed entertainment lawyer. And join us as we learn how to be successful in the field of entertainment. Attorney Minter, internationally acclaimed entertainment lawyer, will share his knowledge about this profession. Additionally, he will give tips to those who desire to pursue careers or who are currently pursuing a career in the field. I just want to give you some background information about Kendall, who is also a classmate of mine. He was in a class a couple of years before mine, but I've always admired Kendall and his work, so I asked him if he could be a guest on my show this evening because he's done phenomenal work in the field of entertainment and also just in terms of life in general. He's just a very, very committed individual and very conscientious person and very just dedicated to help those who would need his assistance in the field of entertainment, sports law as well. Kendall A. Minter, a native of New York and graduate and senior class president of Flushing High School, began his professional path at Cornell University, where he participated in the six-year combined arts law program, graduating with a BA, majoring in political science in 1974, and with a JD from Cornell Law School in 1976. Upon his graduation from Cornell Law School, Mr. Minter joined Fairchild Industries as Associate General Counsel and Corporate Representative for Broadcasting. His responsibilities at Fairchild also included general in-house corporate legal matters, such as employment and consulting agreements, trademarks, real estate, and labor matters. In 1978, Kendall returned to New York City and joined the 56th lawyer firm Burns, Jackson, Miller, Summit, and Jacoby as an associate. In 1980, Kendall embarked upon his solo practice career and established the law firm of Kendall A. Minter, which eventually opened affiliated offices in Los Angeles and London. In 1984, Kendall joined the law firm of Barnes, Wood, Williams, and Rafalski as counsel, where he remained until establishing Minter and Gay in 1987. Minter and Gay was a boutique law firm which specialized in entertainment, sports, and labor law. Based in the Wall Street District, the firm grew to 9 attorneys with an internationally diverse clientele. In September 1994, Kendall merged his practice into the firm of Phillips, Neiser, Benjamin, Krim, and Balon as counsel. In early 1995, Kendall relocated to Atlanta and joined the law firm of Sales, Goodloe, and Golden as counsel, where he established and developed an entertainment department. Kendall has also been of counsel to the New York City entertainment law firm Rudolph and Beer. In 2004, Kendall established Minter & Associates, LLC, in Atlanta, Georgia, and subsequently established an of-counsel affiliation with regional law firm Gibson & Bayman, or Beeman, PC. Minter & Associates, LLC, is a boutique law firm which represents a diverse international clientele in the areas of entertainment, corporate, intellectual property, sports, and new media matters. Kendall is the co-founder and inaugural executive director of the Black Entertainment and Sports Lawyers Association and currently serves on its advisory board. He also serves on the board of directors of Rhythm and Blues Foundation and is the chairman emeritus of the organization and is a member of the board of the Living Legends Foundation and a member of the board of directors of Sound Exchange Incorporated. Kendall has also served extended terms as the director of American Youth Hostels and the 100 Black Men. He was an adjunct professor at Benjamin Cardozo School of Law, currently teaches corporate and music publishing at Georgia State University, and is a frequent lecturer for the Practicing Law Institute and numerous other organizations, as well as being a frequent contributor and columnist for several music trade publications. Kendall is listed in Who's Who in America, Who's Who in American Law, Who's Who in Entertainment, who's who in the East, and who's who amongst black Americans. Additionally, attorney Minter has been inducted into the Knights of Malta, OSJ. A sampling of Mr. Minter's varied clients, past and present, includes Archbishop Desmond Tutu, Shaba Ranks, Lena Horne, Roy Ayers, Music Soul Child, Jermaine Dupri, Najee, Miriam Makeba, Hugh Masekela, Third World, Bonnie Wailer, The Government of Jamaica, The Backstreet Boys, Ying and Yang, Twins, Donnell Jones, Jagged Edge, Cassandra Wilson, Teddy Riley, Freddie Jackson, former WBO heavyweight champion Ray Mercer, Cameo, Silk, The Fat Boys, Peter Tosh, Ashanti, Onyx, Ned Robinson, and First Priority Music, Milk D, MC Light, Heavy D and the Boys, Mad Cobra, M2ME, Kirk Franklin, Fred Hammond, Bishop Eddie Long and New Birth Missionary Baptist Church, Juanita Bynum, Arrow Records, sponsored or under the leadership of Dr. Creflo Dollar, Pastor Dewey Smith and Greater Travelers Rest Baptist Church, Montel Jordan, and Victory World Church, and numerous others. If you would like to get in touch with Mr. Minter after the show, his contact number is 770-879-7400. Again, his contact number is 770-879-7400. And he has offices here in the Greater Atlanta, Georgia area, more specifically Stone Mountain, Georgia. And he has an office in New York City. So, without further ado, I'm going to bring on Attorney Minter. Greetings, Kendall. How are you?
Good evening, Jamila. I'm doing fine, and good evening to all your guests and listeners. It's always a pleasure to have some time with you.
Yeah. Well, your background is extremely impressive, and I wanted the listening audience to talk to you live, if they so desire. What happens sometimes is people will listen and not call in because they just want to listen to the conversation, or they will just listen to the archive show, so, and then tell people about it. But
yes.
I've gone over your background. I just want to have you tell the listeners more about some of the things that you've done in terms of the field of entertainment, and if someone wants to get into the field, all the tips that you would like people to know.
Sure. Well, I guess as you mentioned in the earlier part of your introduction, I am an entertainment attorney, and what that really means is I represent a variety of different clients all across the entertainment diaspora, so that includes music, film, television, live theater, modeling, fashion, new media, intellectual property, which is basically copyrights and trademarks. So pretty much anything and everything that has to do with the field of entertainment, media, and intellectual property typically has a legal element attached to it. You know, my colleagues and myself, we're not out front on the microphone. We're not bopping up and down on the stage. You know, we're not reading lines, or we're not in front of a camera, but we're part of an integral team that supports celebrities, talent, entrepreneurs, and the like, and we do so by contract negotiation, corporate formations, protecting their property, exploiting content that our clients may generate or own or control, music publishing, doing movies, doing books, doing shows, doing, you know, albums, so it's all across the board, and the reason that I'm happy to be an integral part of the music industry worldwide is, and the reason that I kind of got into the entertainment business specifically with a focus on music was that I wanted to be involved in something that touched people's lives on a daily basis. And, you know, I challenge any of your listeners to just stop for a moment and think of one day in your life that you have been around, you know, either in the house, outside the house, in public, and have not listened to or heard some music. These days it's kind of impossible unless you're just completely unplugged. But otherwise, you know, between the car, between the office, between the malls and public spaces, between the concerts, between the television shows, the TV commercials, even the, you know, the e-books these days have music beds occasionally coming in and coming out of them when they're audio books. So music touches everybody's life at one point or another. And also, you know, music is truly international. I've traveled quite extensively over the past 35 or so years. And, you know, one thing I can tell you is a good song in New York is also a good song in Los Angeles. It's a good song in Tokyo. It's a good song in Kingston. It's a good song in Rio. So it just transcends cultural, racial, ethnic, and religious and language barriers and borders. And, you know, that's something that is really unique to the field of music, more so than books or television shows or motion pictures, which have to be translated most of the time. So that's why I jumped into the field. And mm-hmm. I've had a blessed career. I've been fortunate enough to work with, you know, huge numbers of very, very talented people, very skilled entrepreneurs, very successful individuals, men and women, boys and girls who have taken their talents and, you know, basically entertained or done things around the world that have impacted people on a daily basis as well as a long-term basis. So my practice, as you said, is based in Atlanta, Georgia, but I basically have relationships and colleagues and contacts that are global because we're dealing with a global business and a global economy. And that's what I do on a daily basis. I talk with clients. I help them navigate through the various issues that they encounter as celebrities, as talent, as managers, as business leaders, as entrepreneurs, as politicians. And then we find solutions and then put it on paper to make sure it sticks and, depending on the type of the agreement, make sure they get paid. And then protect their rights for generations to come so that their children and their children's children will be able to benefit from the fruits of their labors that they put in today. And in addition to my day-to-day practice, some of the things that I'm proud of and can at least call milestones in my own professional legacy are being involved in a number of different organizations, several of which I was kind of at the groundstone as one of the founding members. One of those that you mentioned is the Black Entertainment and Sports Lawyers Association. We call it BSLA, and that's what most people know it as. It's been around 34 years now. And BSLA is a professional trade association of lawyers, law students, and executives and professionals in the entertainment and sports businesses. And we provide continuing legal education to our members. We provide networking opportunities to members. We provide scholarships to law students who are on the up-and-coming, and also quite often through the networking job opportunities. So BSLA is running strong. It's going to have its 34th annual conference coming up this October in Cabo San Lucas in Mexico, and I invite anybody who's interested in checking it out just to go to BSLA.org, BESLA.org. Another organization that I was instrumental in helping found, and I'm still very much involved, even though not to the same degree on a day-to-day basis, is the Rhythm and Blues Foundation, which was also formed around 1980. And what the Rhythm and Blues Foundation does is it provides emergency financial assistance to pioneer R&B artists who now, unfortunately, are falling on hard times financially, either medical or just lifestyle. And they apply to the foundation for financial assistance, and assuming it meets the criteria, then the foundation provides that assistance, whether it's direct to them or to their doctor or their landlord or their, in some cases, unfortunately, the funeral home provider. And that organization is funded by private donations as well as by significantly large endowments and grants from the Berry Gordy family, from Universal Motown Records, and from Doc Pomus, and it started off with a large grant from Atlantic Records, Ahmet Erdogan. And that's how it was formed, and that's you know, been many, many years ago, but in the interim, a lot of folks have been helped by the grants, the financial assistance and other grants from that organization. So, you know, I'm happy to have been involved in that. I was the chairman for quite a number of years, having succeeded Jerry Butler, who succeeded Ray Charles as the chairman, and now I serve as chairman emeritus. Another organization I'm involved in is the Living Legends Foundation, and we'll be having on October 3rd in Los Angeles our 15th annual awards gala, at which time we will be honoring a number of individuals. And those are folks that are in the music, the radio, and the record industries. And that organization, like the R&B Foundation, also provides not only recognition but financial assistance to folks in those three sectors that are in, you know, emergency situations. So there's money there for that. And lastly, for about the past 7 years, I've served as a member of the board of Sound Exchange, which was created about 11 years ago as a result of recent copyright legislation. What Sound Exchange does, for those folks that are music buffs and in the creative space, is it collects revenue by way of royalties from digital providers that stream music, specifically, as people would understand it and know it, Pandora, XM Sirius Satellite, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Reverb Nation, all the radio stations that have .coms that you can, you know, stream and listen to the programming. They all pay royalties into Sound Exchange, and as a result, each year, Sound Exchange distributes about $750 million to artists and to record companies and to music producers from the royalties that it collects. So that's a, you know, rather significant pot of money. It's a rather significant organization that does a lot of good work, and it's really benefiting artists, the creators, the content providers, the record companies that take the risk, and, you know, basically putting that money back into and recycling into that community. So those are my board activities that kind of keep me busy, keep me functioning on a nonprofit and also a non-paid level. But that's my give back and pay it forward. And that's essentially the kinds of things that I do between the practice and my corporate and board work.
That's very impressive, Kendall, because establishing these organizations, the Rhythm and Blues Organization and BESLA, that took a lot of time and commitment and vision on your part to do that. And a lot of people now, young artists, are benefiting from those kinds of organizations. And the reason why we're so honored that you were able to be a guest on the show is because you work behind the scenes so that the people who are out there entertaining are represented well, because we know back 40, 50 years ago, that didn't happen.
No.
The earlier artists, like Ray Charles, and a lot of them had money stolen from them because they were not represented well. And in later years, they were able to redeem, you know, they were able to get some of their monies back, but some were not. Like you mentioned before, there are people now who are older in their 70s and 80s who were exploited, and the record companies made billions of dollars off them, but that money never trickled down, especially in terms of royalties, because some of them could barely read or write, and they just didn't know the business, because show business is a business. They didn't understand the business side. So it's really wonderful that you are there out there representing entertainers of all races, but primarily African-American and people of African ancestry, because we need to have that kind of representation. So what about the state of music today? What's going on in the music industry today?
That's the 800-pound gorilla in the room with a blue suit on. Well, it's a good topic. I mean, it's a good question, too, because as we all know, regardless of what the age of any of your listeners are, and I'm assuming, you know, from 20s all the way up to 60s, 70s, music has changed dramatically and continues to change over the last 25 years. You know, back when we were at Cornell in the 70s, R&B was the thing, so you could turn on the radio and just hear incredible music. And obviously, it was lifelong music because that music is still very current, very popular today, even though it might be 30, almost 40 years old. And, you know, I'm talking about groups like Earth, Wind & Fire, like Kool & the Gang, like the Barqués and the Shy Lights and the Dramatics and, you know, the Commodores and Stevie Wonder and Diana Ross and Donna Summer. And, you know, the list just goes on and on and on and on and on. It's endless, actually. But that era was incredibly unique, incredibly special, and the music was classic in the sense that it was timeless for generations to come, which is why you can turn on a lot of stations right now and hear that music still as if it was back in the 70s. And then you had, you know, the transition of a different kind of influence in the 80s and 90s, R&B kind of then shared the stage with early rap. And then rap took many different forms from, like, you know, party rap, like, you know, what LL Cool J and those folks were doing, Dougie Fresh, to gangster rap like N.W.A. and Dre and, you know, the folks on the West Coast. Then that kind of morphed in the 90s into hip-hop. And then, you know, you had Biggie and Tupac and a whole host of other fantastic hip-hop artists, whether it's, you know, Grandmaster Flash and Furious Five or Houdini. It was just an era that, you know, was marked by a transition of music, but no less great music than what we had in the 70s and 80s. And then as you kind of moved into 2000s all the way up until now, music is kind of a hodgepodge blend because, you know, you've got artists like Rihanna, like J-Lo, like Pitbull, like, you know, Drake, Future, and then, you know, I could go down the list without, you know, trying to forget and eliminate folks because the list is just long, but the styles are all across the board. They're pop, they're dance, they're hip-hop, they're R&B, so it's a tremendous fusion of music these days. But one thing hasn't changed significantly, and that's the fact that it's the music business. So if you are a creative person, you have to understand that there's two words to this business, which is music business, and music is the creative side, but if it's not matched up with the business side, you know, you're not going to have a legacy, you're not going to be able to get your full value financially from your work, and it may be more of a struggle and a challenge than it is a reward. So you've got to blend the two, and you blend the two by understanding the business aspect of music, and it's not just music. You have to do the same thing if you're into acting. You have to do the same thing if you're an author. You have to do the same thing if you are just a creative person behind the camera as well. Because, you know, your craft is one thing. That's how you express yourself to the world. But in order to make that craft sustainable as a lifestyle that's going to pay your bills, you've got to take care of business. So that's where a team comes in of an attorney with experience and who's not learning on the job. You need, if you're a creative talent and you're out front of the camera or on the microphone, you're going to need agents and managers. An agent is the one really responsible for finding the gig, finding the next piece of paper that's going to pay, finding the placement, finding the script to, you know, connect you to so you can be in front of the camera on a television shoot or a show or in a motion picture or doing a TV commercial. That's what agents do. And then the manager is really kind of like the unofficial extended partner, spouse, significant other of the talent because they're an integral part of that talent's life, and they're like the quarterback. So they're the ones who are responsible for overseeing all 360-degree aspects of an artist's career, connecting the dots, connecting the people, making sure things flow smoothly, making sure the artist or talent is where they're supposed to be doing at a specific time, delivering on time as promised, and then making sure the attorneys are doing the contracts and the accountants are getting the money and making sure that it's properly invested. So a well-oiled, successful, artistic, creative machine has a lot of moving parts, and a lot of folks that are involved in maintaining that success. And when it's all working in harmony, it's a beautiful thing. And, you know, there are lots and lots of careers that are still being sustained actively today. I mean, look at Charlie Wilson from the Gap Band. Look at Lionel Richie, who were out there back, you know, Lionel with the Commodores in the 70s and Charlie Wilson with the Gap Band in the late 70s. And, you know, they are still performing. They're still getting a lot of money every night when they do perform. They're still performing to sell out crowds. They're putting out new music occasionally. They're touring. They're working. They're getting publishing revenue. So folks like that have careers that span, you know, decades as opposed to just, you know, a quick burn in a few years. And that's the difference of a successful career versus a quick shot and they're gone.
And we... You call them one-hit wonders, and there's so many of them.
Who, there are quite a few.
Who were out there during the 70s. The names are escaping me, but I can see them, duets and duos, rather. And they made their records, one or two, and they fizzled out. And so you attribute that to they're just not really knowing the business, or...
Well, there's a lot of reasons. You know, sometimes it's difficult to sustain a career because you can't sustain the hit-making prowess that you had on the first go-round. That's why, you know, you heard the term sophomore jinx. And that comes from the fact that, you know, somebody may come out the box with a smash. Could be a smash record, single, could be a smash album with a bunch of records on it. And then it's hard to follow up on the second go-round. And either just because they... couldn't put the chemistry together the way they did on the first go-round, or they changed the personnel that they used on the first go-round and thought they could do it themselves or with somebody else. There's a lot of reasons, or, you know, in some artist cases, they might have just crashed and burned because they couldn't handle the success. So there are lots of instances where careers are kind of short-lived, like less than 5 years, less than one or two albums, less than, you know, a few tours. But then... for those that sustain it, it's a beautiful thing.
Let me just ask a question. That was a segue for my question. I have you have artists now who are in their 50s and 60s and whatever, and there's an audience for them because you have a lot of baby boomers, but it's like they're not getting a lot of airtime and airplay. So, you know, like Anita Baker, I mean, because I would like to hear her music. I cannot relate to, I don't even know who young artists are because I just don't listen to them. And I listen to more jazz things now or listen to old school radio because I can't relate to young kids. Why is it that there isn't that kind of demand? It's a demand in terms of their touring. Like you said, Charlie Wilson and Lionel Richie, and I know Frankie Beverly and Maze, every time they come out, they sell out. But why is it that they are not being pursued in terms of recording, particularly someone like Anita Baker, whose voice I think is just phenomenal?
The difficulty is at the institutional level, and I mean by the record company level, record companies traditionally are not signing acts that are over 40 years old. They're barely signing acts in their 30s. But what happens is, you know, we live in a youthful society, and a practice sometimes becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And the label mentality, and unfortunately there's only three major labels in America these days and a lot of independents, but the major label and large label mentality is typically we want to go after the youth market, which basically is teens to 20s. So therefore, they're signing and investing new money in artists that are in that age group that are going to appeal to that demographic of buyer. And they feel that the older buyer, the older artist, let's just say 30 and over, and that could be 30 to 60. In some cases, I have clients who are in their 70s. Roy Ayers is going to celebrate his 74th birthday next month, so, and he's still working. You know, vociferously, like literally all over the world every week, but he gets up and he does it and he loves it. But, you know, for the older artists, they're put into a position where they still have an audience. That audience may not be spending as much as the youthful audience in buying new music, which is why those artists don't put out a whole lot of music and why a lot of money is not spent marketing and promoting their music, and that's why the record companies don't sign them. So they typically wind up either putting out product that they themselves directly release through the Internet, or they will sign to a company that specializes in putting out music for the, this is called the 30 to 60 age demographic, but that's a small number of independent companies that do that, and there's a few that do it really successful, and, you know, they kind of lead the pack in what they do, but there are not too many of those. So that's why you don't have a lot of established artists from the 70s and 80s cranking out a lot of new music that's heard because they don't have the money to market and promote it, but they're out there working live because their fans are still adoring the stuff that they did, grew up mm-hmm. on, and had memories from.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. It's unfortunate, too, because, like I said, there, those of us who cannot relate to the tweens and the 20-year-old artists singing about love, I can't relate to any of that. And then you're listening to the old songs from Anita or from other artists, and we want fresh new music from them, but we just don't have that opportunity. We haven't had the pleasure of seeing that happen, so I was just wondering
right.
about that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you see it more with jazz artists, with
mm-hmm.
New music coming into the marketplace than you do with the traditional R&B or pop artist.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think so. I have seen more with jazz artists. That is true.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Now, what about the path to success for a new artist?
There are a lot of ingredients to success in the entertainment industry. One is just know your craft, live your craft, study it, eat it, breathe it, sleep it, and then just become the best you that you can be. Obviously, you know, most creative talent have an ego to a certain degree, which is what drives them, but you have to know where to leave the ego at the door and listen to common sense and good business and then try to find a balance between the two or three elements. But definitely mature the craft, whatever it is, whether it's writing as an author, whether it's writing as a songwriter, whether it's singing as an artist, whether it's being an actor in front of a camera or live on a stage or being behind a camera as a photographer, just, you know, study it, hone mm-hmm. in on it, learn it, network, go to as many different educational opportunities, workshops, seminars, conferences, conventions, classes that you can afford to do to basically become an expert in whatever area it is that you're seeking to pursue. And then once you've done that and kind of worked on being the best you, then it's time to reach out and put a team around you that already has established expertise. And, you know, usually I'm not talking about your homeboy or homegirl who you kind of grew
right.
up with in the hood, who
right.
you want to kind of take along because you're all the drinking buddies and you feel good about him or her. But you need to find folks that are professionals that are already established in the field in which you want to get into, that can actually use their expertise and their established network of contacts to move your career forward. And that's on all levels, on the level of a lawyer, on the level of an agent, on the level of a business manager who handles the finances, as well as a personal manager who quarterbacks the career. So on all those multiple levels, you just need to make sure that you're creating an A-team, and that's the A-team that you got to take into battle with you each and every single day. And as a creative talent, they're going to get more no's than yeses, so you have to develop a real thick skin, be prepared for rejection, but take that rejection and turn it around into a positive, so as one door opens, another door, you know, one door closes, another door opens, and you've got to be able to find that opportunity and weed out the nonsense, because you're definitely going to be faced with nonsense, because, you know, a good portion of our business is filled with folks that just talk. They can't deliver, but talk sounds good, and talk is cheap. But, you
mm-hmm.
know, a lot of people talk sometimes with good intentions, but when it comes down to delivery, they're just not able to deliver on what they promised. So a lot of people go down the path of expectation but don't deliver it. So you just have to go through the the process and realize that it's a career. It's not a short marathon, not a short sprint, but it is a longer marathon, and there'll be highs and lows as you kind of go through the process.
Mm-hmm. So if a young artist were to come to you, I had the opportunity last night of listening to this young woman who is, her voice is just so, two young women whose voices are so incredible. One was a finalist on the BET show, the gospel show, whatever.
Oh, Sunday's Best with Kirk, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she wasn't able to finish out because she was 8 months pregnant, but they are going to call her back. I mean, she made it through all the callbacks and whatever, and her voice is just perfect. There's another young woman whose voice is just perfect, and I thought about you. If people were to come to you, do you also help them find agents and managers, or do they have to come with agents and managers, and then they contact you?
It depends on where in their career process and path they are. Quite often I won't take on a new developing artist client, music artist client, if they don't have other pieces of the puzzle already in place or under discussion. For example, I don't go out to shop for record deals because record deals are, you know, extremely difficult to come by. So there's a lot of things you have to do to position yourself in the market before you can even think about a record deal. So I don't take clients on to come to me to say, hey, I'm a great talent. I got a good voice. I need a record deal. I'm like, I'm not the person. There might be a few people out there, but I don't know too many of my colleagues, given the market the way it is right now, who generally just take on a new artist with the intention of shopping for a record deal. But then again, that's not always the end all, because that's part of the equation. But there's a lot of things that go into developing a career before you get there. There is a very small circle qualified, experienced personal managers in the business in different genres of music. So in order for an artist to get recognized and be seriously considered for being added to a management roster, they have to do some homework. They've got to, you know, for everybody, you got to get on and become social network geeks, gurus by creating a brand awareness, creating, you know, huge numbers on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube views. If you have a music record out, you know, something that people are talking about and chatting about online and maybe even downloading and purchasing if it's available on iTunes. But that's the homework that has to be done by 98% of new entrants into the marketplace, the folks like on TV, on Sunday's Best, you know, American Idol, on The Voice. They already have a platform because television establishes that, and actually most of those folks, all of those folks, are already locked into an initial contract to even participate and perform on the show. So they don't even become available unless they don't make the final cut. If they make the final cuts, then they either, you know, put out a record or they're at a holding period until the company can decide if they really want to do something with them. So they're kind of like in a different category all by themselves, which is unique but beneficial to them, as opposed to someone who just has a talent who you saw at an open mic or showcase locally in town, and, you know, they want to do something with their career. They just have to get a small team of folks that they know have the ability to deliver, but specialize most importantly on social media and internet development, because that's still the cheapest form of marketing and promotion as opposed to radio and television and billboards.
And also a lot of, I know TLC had a documentary about this years ago, how people see the glitz and they think that all the money immediately comes to them, and that is a misperception, because if the industry is spending $1 million, they would give you an advance. But if they're spending $1 million on producing the video, once your sales hit, you don't get that $1 million. You know, the company gets them $1 million because they've advanced it on the video, because they talked about also how Mary J. Blige, for the first couple of years, even though her records were doing well, she was still living in the housing projects. So, and TLC couldn't pay their bills. So I think people, young people, really need to know about that too, because they just see the videos, and they also think that those people own their homes and their cars. And I tell them a lot of them are renting those homes.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah,
they don't own them,
yeah.
But they sell them the dream. So they think, okay,
yeah.
I have a hit record, and I'm going to have the car, I'm going to have the house. I said, no, you're not. They don't own those. They don't own any of those things. It takes them years before they can accumulate assets. So do you want to talk a little bit about that? Because a lot of people
really have the
pie in the sky kind of image about the entertainment business.
Sure. Well, I mean, for the common person who is on the outside looking in, you just got to remember, don't believe the hype. Because in our business, entertainment is about hype. It's about hyping folks up and, you know, getting them to buy into the dream to sustain a lifestyle. But the reality, as you say, is a lot of artists and creative talent are living way above and outside their means simply because that's what their fans expect. Their fans expect them to be driving up in a Bentley, not in a Mercedes or in a Maybach or an Aston Martin, you know, as opposed to a Hyundai. So it costs to maintain that lifestyle. And unless you're out actively and regularly touring and working and picking up, you know, 25 grand or more per show and, you know, doing that on a consistent basis and making money from publishing and merchandising and all of the other various revenue streams, you know, you're going to be just kind of paying bills and sometimes barely paying bills because, you know, it's expensive to maintain that lifestyle, whether it's in New York or L.A. You know, fortunately, Atlanta is a very inexpensive place where you can live, have a great lifestyle, and actually live in a mansion without having to pay mansion prices like you do in New York or L.A., but that's just, you know, the lifestyle in Atlanta and maybe Nashville. But by and large, you just have to kind of maintain a lifestyle within your means if you want to be able to sustain it and stay out of financial stress and trouble without having to file for bankruptcy and run from creditors and do all those other kinds of things by overextending yourself. And, you know, that's just not the creative community. That happens just in the world at large. I mean, it's just human nature.
And so you had talked earlier about assembling a winning team. And also, what are the 5 pitfalls to avoid?
I would say the first is be truthful to yourself. So don't believe the hype that everybody may heap on you, which blows up your ego, which then skews and blurs the reality of what things are. So if you can just, at the end of the day, when it's quiet, when no one else is around, if you could just be truthful to yourself and don't buy into the hype, that's, you know, a principle that you can apply in all kinds of different situations. Another is realize that we're in a business where rights are given away in the stroke of a pen. And sometimes it could be rights to your most valuable creative processes that came out of you, whether it's a song or a book or a play or a film or anything. So never sign anything that's a contract in nature without having it reviewed by a competent attorney. Because it's a lot easier to get into it than it is to get out of it. Going down the list, I would say also make sure that you don't spend more than you're bringing in. A lot of people spend in anticipation of that next advance check, that next tour. So the best advice would be to follow the advice of your financial advisors, whether it's your business manager, your accountant, or your investment advisor, to make sure that if you have a dollar coming in, a third of that is being set aside for taxes, Uncle Sam, and all the other kind of stuff that goes along with that. So realize that instead of a real dollar, you only got 66 cents to spend. And then you want to invest part of that, set aside some of it for the future, as well as taking care of your current needs. So not overspending is a critical component. And most folks are not all that successful in that area. What I would also suggest is don't do foolish things that will put a, let's just call it a negative mark on your reputation. And I specifically speak to females more so than males in our industry.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, everybody knows about the old proverbial casting couch, but it's really not worth it. And if you have to sell your soul to the devil, give up your body, give up your pride, give up your, you know, your person in order to get ahead, then the question is it really worth it? And my answer would be no, because the price is too large to pay.
I think that's a very important point, Kendall, because what you see in the videos is promoting women selling their bodies to be in the videos. And they're like, well, I have to make it, so this is the only way. And I tell people, the women who are the wealthiest in the country, Oprah, Hillary Clinton, and First Lady Michelle Obama, never did it that way. So, and the women who have done that are not billionaires. So it's, it's a big difference, and people really need to, really, especially females, really need to pay heed to that caution.
Yeah. And the last recommendation would be don't lose your family to the pursuit of your career. And that is not just applicable to the entertainment industry, but just in general, because, you know, you only have one family. You got one mother, one father, maybe sister, brother, siblings, kids, spouses, significant others. And you have to find a balance between how to maintain harmony at home and in the family circle while you're pursuing your career path. Career paths change. They change quite frequently and sometimes all the time. So that's one thing that you know may have an on-off switch that you can turn it on, turn it off, even though, you know, you may have to sometimes find a balance between the two that requires, you know, 24 hours of work as opposed to an eight-hour day. But at the end of the day, you want to find a balance between family and career that gives you the best of both without sacrificing either at the expense of the other.
And that
would be it.
I think that was highlighted in the movie about James Brown, the biopic. I had a chance to look at the premiere, go to the premiere.
Every
biopic basically talks about that. And I know when they produce one with Whitney, it's going to highlight that as well, because what happens, sometimes you get caught up, and they show the scene with James Brown and his interaction with his best friend, Bobby Byrd, how he alienated him, and then he had to go back because he saw that he was the one person on his team. Because you get caught up with you get caught up with the glitz and the glamour, and all the people that you pick up along the way are into you because you are their money ticket. But if you have someone who knew you before you were famous, those are the people that are very, very committed and loyal to you, because they're not there for the ride. They're there to support you. And
yeah, they're there for you. Yeah, not for
exactly
what you can do for them.
Exactly. You're not a meal ticket. And
exactly.
I think a lot of times people get caught up with that, and they start, you know, having people. And that's what happened to, he talked about it, MC Hammer, unfortunately. He talked about that.
Yeah.
He wanted to bring everybody along, and and he was trying to help everyone, and it didn't serve him well.
No, it took him
down.
So,
yeah, he talked about it. He tried to bring the entire neighborhood with him, and they were not all supportive. And when the money goes, then so do the
the latecomers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all the time.
They leave. They leave.
Yeah.
And then
on to the next food.
Yeah, and they won't return calls. And even if they become financially prosperous because of your success and that you no longer have, or they then don't return calls, and they don't want to be bothered. But James Brown's biopic was really, really very good.
Like,
because
just like Ray. Ray was good, too, along the same line.
Yeah.
Different personalities, but similar kind of concepts. The price of stardom.
And I think that you can do it. I think because we've had so many people who have paid the price, young people don't have to repeat those patterns. Because they've seen the pitfalls. And I think talking with you and having you explain to people what to look for and how to pull together a team and how not to get caught up in the business, because it's a job. So when
mm-hmm.
you go to a regular 9-to-5 job, you need to have boundaries and balance and not be all consumed with that. And the same thing with the entertainment business, because
right.
what happens is sometimes people believe the hype, like you said
yep.
before.
Most of the time.
They believe,
yeah.
yeah, the image that they created about you, they start buying into it and start seeing
mm-hmm.
themselves in that light. And
exactly.
that's the beginning. That's the beginning of the end, because you have to be able to separate that and say, this is my show persona.
Yeah, the show face.
This is
uh-huh,
my,
yeah.
Yeah, my,
yeah.
And I think a person who's really kind of, to what I can say, who has mastered that is Prince.
Mm-hmm.
He has a very private life that
right.
is off, that's off limits to people. He doesn't let you
mm-hmm.
into that. And then he has a show persona. But you never know what's going on in his personal life. You know, the average person doesn't. He's not in the tabloids. He keeps it very personal and very private.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
years ago, he talked about show business and how being a slave when he had that tattoo on his face. And he was really telling people, this is a wake-up call for all of you. Make sure
mm-hmm.
that you don't allow this business to consume you, and make sure that you understand how it's run. And it seems like he's been able to take over and take control of
yeah,
his
yeah.
career.
He's mastered that. Yep. Yep. And that's what it takes, knowing what the game is and knowing how to play it. The game
mm-hmm.
of life. yeah, yeah.
So if someone cool. wanted to get in touch with you to find out more, how would the person do that? How?
The best way, actually, would be, because when I'm in the office, I'm generally on the phone already all day long.
Mm-hmm.
Between phones, emails, and meetings. So I would say probably email to me. And then at that, we can then have an initial exchange and then set up some phone time. But I'll give your listeners my email address, which is real easy. It's just my initials, which is K-A-M like in mentor, L-A-W for law. So it's camlaw@AOL.com.
Mm-hmm. And I can tell everyone in the listening audience that Kendall does respond to his emails. He's not one of those people
mm-hmm.
who is aloof and detached and doesn't respond. He's very good about that. Very good about that. And if anyone wants to call within the remaining couple of minutes that we have left, because Attorney Minter has some other obligations, and he agreed to do the show with us from 7 to 8, but we will remain on the air from 8 to 9. You can call in the few remaining moments that we have, 1-818-572-8023, and press 1. Again, the call-in number for this evening is 1-818-572-8023, and press 1. Kendall, what would you like to leave with our listening audience in terms of a summary and what you think new artists, and new doesn't necessarily, well, it means people usually in their 20s, but if there are some established people
mm-hmm, sure, that are
who are older.
Pursuing,
yeah.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would say first, the Internet is a beautiful thing. With just, you know, a little bit of minimum sophistication and knowing how to navigate the Internet, you have a wealth of information and knowledge readily at your fingertips where you can read and study it anywhere, from the car, from the cell phone, from the airplane, from the bathroom, from the office, wherever you might have your mobile or laptop or hard drive sitting on a desk. So use it. You know, whether your desire path is in music, film, television, theater, photography, whatever it might be, study as much as you can of available information about the specifics of your craft. And then look at some of the trade magazines like Billboard, Hollywood Reporter, Variety, Adweek, those kinds of things, which are also available on the Internet, and see who the players in the business, the current players in the business are. When I say players, I mean the influencers, the decision makers, the folks that are making things happen. Read about them. Study what they're doing. Find out what's going on in immediate business trends in the specific segment of the industry that you're interested in, so you'll know and can have an intelligent conversation about what's new, what's developing, what's on the business side, what's on the creative side, what's cutting edge, and then begin to ply your craft, you know, literally day by day, and it's something that you should be working at literally a little every day, even if it's only a half an hour. Do something so that it's consistent, because that something will continue to build into a lot.
Mm-hmm. And that's the metaphysics behind it. Whatever you give
mm-hmm.
your attention to expands. So, and you can also, as Kendall had mentioned, primarily to the females and males as well, you don't have to sell your soul in order to
mm-hmm.
be successful. As a matter
right.
of fact, if you do that and you compromise your ethics and your values, you will easily be a one-hit wonder. We see
mm-hmm.
people, I don't look at television anymore, but we have seen people on reality shows. They are there for a season, at the most maybe a year, and then you don't hear anything else from them because they compromised everything that they had to be successful, whereas the people who have longevity generally do not do that. They know that they are very talented, and they know that they have a gift, and that they know that they don't have to sell themselves short, and they don't have to settle. And it may take them a moment, but they know that the highest and the most divine opportunities will eventually become available to them. So I think that's really important, that you don't have to get caught up. Like you see young ladies in the videos, the music videos, you don't have to do that in order to be very successful.
No, not at all. Actually, you shouldn't.
Yeah, you don't
yeah.
have to do that. Yeah,
yeah.
Because you don't. People view you as not having any integrity, and you will not
right.
be a decision maker at the table at the end of the day. So, and also I think, too, a lot of young artists are doing this, and older artists, the ones who are very, very prominent, to have more than one skill. People are now doing things in front of the camera as well as behind the camera. A lot of entertainers now are becoming producers and writers. So as they age, they still are able to have a viable income.
So I would say just pursue it. And
yeah.
I thank you for the time and the audience.
Well, thank you so much, Kendall. We really appreciate having you. And for anyone who would like to get in touch with Attorney Mentor, can you give them your contact information?
Sure.
Again?
The best way is to reach me on email. It's at camlaw, K-A-M-L-A-W, @AOL.com.
Okay, Kendall. Thank you, and have a wonderful evening.
Thanks, Jamila, and to everyone okay. listening. Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
We have had the opportunity for the first hour to have Attorney Kendall Mentor, who is a legend in the entertainment field and in the music industry, join us to give people valuable information about the do's and don'ts of the entertainment industry and his background. So for those of you who are interested in all genres of entertainment, you can be in the field of sports. He works with sports figures. I listed a very impressive list of people whom he has represented in the past and or is currently representing, like Archbishop Desmond Tutu, Neil Horn, Ntume, Ashanti, the Yin Yang Twins, Jermaine Dupri, Kirk Franklin, Fred Hammond, the Jamaican government, Pastor Dewey Smith in Atlanta, Bishop Eddie Long. So there are lots of famous people that he has represented and continues to represent. And if you want to get in touch with him just for some advice or to have him represent you, feel free, as he mentioned before, to get in touch with him via CAM, K-A-M, law, L-A-W, @AOL.com. Again, it's CAM, law, @AOL.com. Okay, so for the second hour, we are going to talk about the field of entertainment. As I mentioned earlier, I had the opportunity to see the biopic of James Brown's life. And in that biopic, it gave a lot of very good information about his life from the beginning to almost to the end, the same as Ray Charles' movie with Jamie Foxx. And both those movies were very, very well done. The actor who portrayed James Brown was absolutely phenomenal. He, and the makeup was just absolutely incredible. they did a great job in showing how he aged, and they covered a lot of his life. The interesting thing is that they didn't really get into a lot of his personal issues with women, which I think was good because he had a very troubled background with women in terms of being abusive, but they didn't focus on that as much as they did. They focused more so on his character as a person and why he became the kind of person that he became. So that was the highlight of the movie, and it was really good. They showed him from his childhood, and then they had flashbacks. So for those of you who have not had the opportunity to see the movie, I'm not going to go into details about it, but I think that I think it would be an excellent movie for you to see. And it goes over payola, which is one of the facets of the record industry, and it showed how James Brown was able to master his career and basically take over his career. And people really initially underestimated him, but his ability as a survivor was the thing that was able to have him be successful throughout the time that he was in the entertainment business, because he saw it as a business, and he talked about that in the movie. That it is a business. People come into it, particularly if they're young, and they see it basically as kind of like as a hobby. And they love doing what they do, be it acting, be it singing, be it in the sports arena. But they don't understand the business side of it. And as a result of that, not understanding the business side of it, so many people have been exploited. So this movie showed how he took control over his career early on, and did a pretty good job of it. They still have some things, I think, with his estate. I think that is still now being contested, but they didn't go into any of that. They just showed him as he was living. They didn't go into what's going on with his estate now that he is deceased. But I would encourage anyone who's interested in learning more about James Brown. And for those of you who may not be interested in learning more about him but just want to have the opportunity to see a movie that's very well done and the acting is excellent, to go to see that movie. And it was excellent in that you didn't have a lot of profanity in the movie, because it's not necessary to have a really good movie. And I enjoyed that. And it's a movie that I'm not sure of the rating, but it's a movie that's not offensive. So I encourage you to go see the movie if you have an opportunity. Another movie that I've heard a lot about since we're talking about entertainment is the movie entitled Lucy. I've not seen the movie, but a lot of people have talked about it, and it deals with, I know it deals with metaphysics, but it also deals with evolution, someone had mentioned, but it's receiving rave reviews as well. I am so pleased, so pleased that we're now having movies of quality that are being presented and produced. And it's very important for us, for people of all races and all ages, to demand that Hollywood produces quality movies. But it will only produce quality movies if we demand it, and also if we patronize those movies that are quality movies. Because like in the movie with James Brown, with the Jewish lawyer who made a derogatory statement about African Americans, the misperception is that we would not support things that are quality. So they keep giving us these trashy movies because the misperception is that that's all we want to do is to be entertained. And I think a large percentage of the population, of the African-American population, probably does want to be entertained, but then there's even, I think, an equal percentage that wants to see quality movies. So we have to definitely support the movies that are a true reflection of our life and of our culture, because going to those movies sends a very strong message to Hollywood that these are the kinds of movies that we want. These are the kinds of movies that we want to see you produce. And also, there are now independent movie producers who are making movies, like Kendall's daughter, Kamali Minter, is a producer, and she does extremely good movies. So there are young producers out there who are making short films that reflect positive aspects of African-American culture and other cultures as well. So if you see movies out there that are not to your liking, you have a voice. You can then have your voice heard by not going to movies that are derogatory, that are sexist, that are racist, that are homophobic. Any movie that is making disparaging remarks about people, those movies do not have to be produced. And we, as the public, can influence Hollywood. It happens all the time. Whenever they see that there's a trend, then they will come out with a barrage of movies to reflect that trend. Because Hollywood is in the business, as Kendall had mentioned, to make money. It is a business. And they, even though there's a lot of racism in Hollywood, there's a lot of sexism in Hollywood, there's a lot of classism in Hollywood, they still will not make movies that don't make money. So if they feel like movies about African Americans that are positive will make money, they will produce those movies. If they see a whole group of us going out to support those movies, then they would produce those kinds of movies. But if they think that we don't really care, or people, not just African Americans, but people of all races, that we don't really care, and that we would just accept the negative images that are thrown at us, then they would continue to produce those kinds of derogatory movies. So, as I said before, definitely go to see the James Brown biopic. And Lucy, a movie that I had not seen, but I think that's really important. During my conversation with Kendall, we talked about some of the artists, because I'm a baby boomer, and a lot of my friends and I have lamented over the fact that we do not see a lot of our old school artists, like I had mentioned Anita Baker, Patti LaBelle. Is Patti LaBelle, Aretha Franklin, and Gladys Knight, I think up to a certain extent, are artists that play Vegas and other places, and they are still in demand. But I have been really saddened by the fact that I think Anita came out with an album within the past 5 years, and I didn't hear it on the radio. And a lot of people who are very, very talented, who are older, have not been afforded the opportunities of being able to produce new music and get it out there in front of the listening audience. So I think that we have, as I stated before, we have a strong voice, and we can allow that voice to be heard by going to the record labels and telling them that we, as members of the baby boomer generation or a few years younger, want to have music being produced that we can listen to, as opposed to recycling the same records we heard 10 to 15 to 20 years ago, that we want to hear new music, and money talks. So we have more power than we give ourselves credit for. So I think we need to really step back and think about exercising our power and having the entertainment industry take heed and pay attention to our requests, our demands, and our concerns. So I think talking with your colleagues and talking with other people whom you know, banding together, what I know that really works is sending in petitions to any place, like a recording industry, a record label, sending in petitions and getting groups of people together, because our demographic, the baby boomer generation, I think I read a couple of years ago that we outnumber the people in their 20s, and we have more buying power because a lot of people who are in the baby boomer generation are in their between 40s to 60s, and they have more disposable income because their children are in college or out of college, and so now they're some have retired, so they have more money at their disposal. And more of my friends, who some are still working and some who have retired, are traveling more. So in doing so, that lets them know, the recording industry, that we have more money and we're interested in spending our money on those things that reflect our values, which would include the movies, which would include records or songs that reflect our lifestyle and our interests. So it's time now for us to exercise our buying power and to have our voices heard. So if you want to have more movies that are conscious movies, that are high vibrational movies, that are positive movies, it's the same thing with the recording industry in terms of albums, in terms of books or whatever. Support the ones that come out that reflect your desires. So if you want something that reflects family role modeling or whatever, support those movies. If you want something that reflects positive images of women of all ages and races, support those movies. And for the ones that don't, then don't spend your money on it. What's interesting is that people will talk about things and then they will spend their money. And so you're canceling out your leverage, because people then do not have to pay attention to you because your buying power is not being utilized in a way in which you can garner strength and get what you want. So we have to sit back and really think about these things. And another area that we talked about with Kendall is how young women sometimes sell their souls. And some men, young men have done that too. They have they sell their bodies in order to get a recording contract or a modeling contract or a television contract or whatever. And the women that have done that soon fizzle out. They may have a meteoric rise to fame for a short period of time, and then the whole thing fizzles because that's not a way in which you can garner respect, nor do you are you able to maintain any longevity in the recording industry, in the film industry, or whatever industry you're pursuing. So just step back and look at the people, like I had mentioned earlier, who have not done that, like First Lady Michelle Obama, who did not do it that way. She used her brain to achieve the heights of professional her professional career. I mean, she's gone to the highest peak in her professional career because she knew who she was, and she knew that she had value, and she knew she didn't have to sell her soul nor compromise her integrity to become successful. The same thing with Oprah Winfrey, and the same thing with most very, very, very successful women. They have not sold their souls nor their bodies to achieve fame or to achieve what they feel is important to them, to achieve success. It is not necessary. Even though you see the opposite of that in videos, you see young women being exploited in terms of being treated like objects and in the videos. They're kind of like the background scenery that moves. You see them jiggling and shaking and whatever, but the guys are just treating them like furniture. You know, they will strike a match on their behinds, or they're just part of the scenery, but they're not given the respect. So, and sometimes young girls feel like they have to do it that way in order to achieve fame, and you don't have to do it that way because, as Kendall had alluded to, that is not the way to become successful in whatever career that you want to be successful in, not just in the entertainment industry, but in the industry or career. So what Higher Consciousness is doing, this Blog Talk Radio show, wants to elevate our consciousness, to elevate your self-esteem. If you're young and you're feeling like you have to do it, you have to do things in a way in which you don't feel good about. My thing that I tell young people, and to tell people, period, if you feel a kick in your stomach, that's the universe's way of saying, the creator's way of saying to you that it's not in alignment with your higher self and with your higher spirit, and that you don't have to pursue whatever is in front of you. And if we wait patiently and ask for guidance, and we ask for the Most High to show us the correct way or the correct path, it will be shown to us. We don't have to compromise our values. But I think sometimes people in the entertainment industry in particular, and in other fields as well, really exploit people's willingness to sell their souls, their willingness to compromise their values, their willingness to give up everything because they think that that's the only path and the only way to achieve their goals, and that is not the only way. As a matter of fact, that's a very, very low vibrational way, and it would not be sustained, because whatever you did to get the position, if you use your brains, that's what will sustain you. If you use your body, then that is how they would view you as well, because whatever you present to people in the beginning, that's how they're going to view you. Remember, first impressions are lasting impressions. Sometimes you can change that impression with people, but generally, whatever people see in the beginning or how they view you in the beginning is how they will carry that. They will hold on to that image of you. So when you want to move out of that, if you started out in a certain way, using your body, male or female, that's how people would then perceive you. And they would not take you seriously. You're a one-hit wonder, as we had talked about before, because you can think of a lot of the reality shows where people were using their bodies and they were there for a season. And after the season was over, literally, then the industry just dropped them like a hot potato. They were of no value to them, because the public has shifted onto something new. So once the public shifts, then the entertainment industry sees that you have no further value because you did not use your intellectual and cognitive abilities to get where you could have gotten had you used them. And you took the so-called quick route out, which was using the body. And the casting, the proverbial, as Kendall mentioned it, the proverbial casting couch. So, and we've had so many of our iconic figures to tell us that you don't have to do it that way. So I'm so happy that young people now have a roadmap that they can follow, because people who have gone before them did not have a roadmap. They just were in the dark and they had to figure it out. But now you have the roadmap and the biopics, like Ray Charles's biopic and James Brown's biopic and some of the others are showing you the pitfalls that they encountered, but they were able to overcome them so that you would not have to encounter those pitfalls at all, whoever you are and whatever age, because also, too, the odds may be less if you're older. But Colonel Sanders started his Kentucky Fried Chicken chain. I think he was in his mid-60s. And Grandma Moses became a famous painter. She was in her 90s. So, and as I said before, we can define, we the public, can create our own market for whatever we want to create our market for. So even though the entertainment industry is saying, okay, if you're over 30, then we won't look at you or consider you, you don't have to go through them in order to get an album out or to get your book out. You can self-publish. And then, you, as Kendall had mentioned, you can then use the Internet to market your product. So just because someone says no, no means new opportunity. If you have a burning desire within your heart, I don't care if you're 717-70. If you have a burning desire, do not stop short of fulfilling your dream, regardless of your age, because people are constantly reinventing themselves. Like 60 now is the new 40. So people, and we're living longer, so you can have three or four different careers by the time you transition, and most people now are transitioning in their 80s, and years from now, it may even go up to 90s. So from the time that you start working, like in your late teens up until 80, you could have had several different careers. And one could be in the entertainment field. You just never know. Just ask the universe, ask the creator to provide you with assistance, and you can get that assistance. You don't have to be dependent upon external forces to determine whether or not you have a gift or to determine how long you would be in a career or if you will be successful. I think what has happened to us in the past is we've given up so much of our power to external forces. When they've said that it's over, then we've considered it to be over. And we've just acquiesced and we've just given up on our dream when there was so much left within us. And we just threw in the towel because, you know, an agent or an entertainment executive or a publishing company has told you that your time is up. And if you believe it, whatever you believe has to become your reality. Whereas, like I said before, there are people who did not believe it, and they pursued their careers. They continue to pursue their careers. And you can do it as an independent agent. If you want to do films, you can start out with a low budget and produce films. If you want to write books, if you want to be a vocalist or whatever, you can do that. You can do that. You don't need the executives in their big offices, which are so disconnected and so removed from the rest of us. You don't need their approval. All you need is your approval and getting yourselves and allowing yourselves to feel confident about your craft. That's all you need. You don't need to have the approval of someone outside of yourself. And we've become so dependent upon people validating us. And so when they say that it's over, and one show that I used to look at when I was watching television was America's Top Model. It was just so tragic. You would see these young, beautiful women who would just collapse and fall apart when the judges would tell them that they were too fat, and none of those women were fat, but they were too big or that they didn't walk well enough or they weren't good enough. That would just basically go to the core the core of their spirits and just basically collapse and just feel like, oh, my God, my dream is over, my goal is over, because they're no longer these judges don't see me as being a valuable commodity, and I use the word correctly, a valuable commodity in the modeling industry. And so they believed it. There were some who did not believe it, but most would believe it, and then they would give up on their dreams, or they would feel devastated, as opposed to pulling from the reservoir from within and pulling from the depths of their spirit that fire and going forth with that. They would not do that. They would just collapse. So the moral of the program this evening is for you to really, really look at, as Kendall had talked about, the entertainment industry and separate the facts from the fiction and not get caught up with the hype. And money doesn't change you. Money is just a wonderful energy. It's God in expression. It's our attitudes about money. So if we think we have to sacrifice our souls to get money, if we think we have to give up who we are to get money, if we think that acquiring material things is more important than maintaining or acquiring solid friendships and relationships with people who love us, if we think all those things, which are fallacies, but if we think all of those things are true, then that would become our reality. And then you end up seeing people who die a lonely, lonely, miserable life because what has happened in their pursuit of fame, in their pursuit of money, in their pursuit of all of those external trappings. They get those things, and then they realize once they have all those things that they still feel unfulfilled, because it's not the things that will make you happy. Of course, you will feel better if you have money and you can pay your mortgage or your rent or whatever. You feel better if you could not. But having all the money and buying several houses, and that's why people accumulate so many assets like that. They think if they buy enough houses and enough cars and enough jewelry that they will feel good about themselves. And at the end of the day, after they acquired the house, the jewelry, the cars, and all those other things, then they want more because they're trying to fulfill that hole, that void within themselves that they cannot fulfill with anything external to themselves. It's just not going to happen. So they work on trying to fulfill that, and it doesn't work, and it doesn't work, and they continue to work on it, continue to work, and so they keep upping the ante. Then they get another car and another house and another car, another house, and then they get caught up with other things that are external. And all of this is internal. It's an internal process. So if you're entering the field of entertainment or any field of sports, which is part of entertainment, any area, even as a lawyer or a doctor or whatever, we have to go into those professions feeling whole, feeling good about ourselves. Because as Abraham Hicks talks about, it's alignment first, then act. And what most of us do is we act before we have the alignment. We go out and we get the things and we get. We're trying to pull from the external environment to bring it to us to make us feel whole. So that's why people continue to buy excessively. Like Kendall was saying, they want to have a certain kind of lifestyle because they feel like that would make them feel good. And the fans, as he mentioned too, have that kind of expectation. So they get those things, and they really can't afford them. When you're starting out in the entertainment industry, you don't make a lot of money. You don't make money until maybe about 5 years into it if you have a good lawyer. Like Kendall is an excellent lawyer. But so most of the houses that you see, they rent or the studio has them. Most of the cars, they lease or the studio owns them. Most of the clothes, the studio has given them a loan. So very few things you see with these entertainers do they own. Very few of them own anything. And because they haven't gone into the industry knowing first that it's a business and they haven't prepared themselves, they're just very, very, very hungry to be seen, to be heard, to be on the stage. But they haven't gotten into alignment to know that they are important and that they are valuable and that they don't have to compromise and lose integrity to become famous. But because they haven't gotten into alignment with that, they're very hungry, very anxious, and very excited about being an entertainer. And so what happens is that they give up pieces of themselves to achieve and to accomplish that dream because they haven't gone into the business as a whole individual. So I encourage people in the listening audience, not only the ones who are interested in the entertainment industry, but those of you who are also interested in any industry, going into a job, you know, any kind of position. If you want to work at the post office, if you want to teach at a college, if you want to be a hairstylist, whatever the career is that you're thinking about pursuing, to go into it already knowing that you are good enough, that you are made in the image of the Most High God, Allah, Jehovah, whatever name you would like to give that individual, that you are perfect. And there is nothing external to you that can make you more perfect. That everything, that you're going to get everything into alignment, and that so when you go into those positions, or wherever you go, you are coming from a place of empowerment. And people respond very differently to you. potential employers, people in the entertainment industry, they respond very differently to a person who is very self-assured and empowered. Sometimes they may call you arrogant, which is okay. Which is okay. It lets you know before you work with them how they view you. So I think that's very important for you to know that. But when you go into the entertainment industry as a newer artist or as an older artist, empowered, you know that if they say no, you just look for the next opportunity. And you know that it doesn't begin or end with them, that the Most High Creator is your source, that your source is not the record industry or the record executive or whomever, or your employer. They're not your source. They're just avenues for you to get your, to have your dream accomplished. So they're not your source. So if they say no to you, you just say, okay, there's a different, there's another way in which I can pursue this. I thought this was the way, but I found out that it's not the way. I am not giving up on my dream. I'm choosing, and remember this, you're putting the two words together, I am. I am, which is another name for God. I am choosing the most divine way for me to pursue my career. I am allowing divine order to take control over my life. And when you bring in divine order, which is another name for God, or the Most High, or Jehovah, or Infinite Source, when you bring in the Most High, then everything flows from that. There's no way that you cannot be successful. So rather than depending upon record executives and managers and whatever to determine your career, first get in alignment with your desire. See yourself at the end result. See yourself, if you're in the entertainment industry or you want to be in the entertainment industry, see yourself on stage in your mind's eye. Write that out. I am so successful as an entertainer, and everything is under divine grace and in divine order. I perform extremely well on stage. Just write it out, script it out, write it out, script it out, write it out. Not that you want, because want puts you in a state of lack. Write it in the now, as if it's happening now. And never include the word not, because the universe doesn't hear not. It hears you. It hears whatever you say that you don't want. So if you said, I am not successful as an entertainer, but I'm going to be, it doesn't hear I'm going to be. It hears I am not successful. That's what it hears. So then that becomes a reality, and you may say, why is it that I'm not doing better in entertainment, or why is it that I do not have the record contract? Because you're focusing on the lack of it. You're focusing on not having the contract. You're focusing on what isn't working. So the universe has to give you more of that. And then if you feel like this guy who is a record executive is a person that you have to be in his good graces and that you give him all the power, then the universe will rearrange itself to support that belief. When in fact, the Creator may have said, I have someone coming on this person's path, Marie's path, who will give her everything her heart desires. But she thinks this executive over here can do that for her. So we have to support her belief. So when the executive is not able to fulfill those desires that you have about his bringing you to the top of, making you a number one author or number one artist, when he or she was never able to do it, and you finally find out, then all you have to do is not spend any energy on that, just shift. We can shift so quickly in the moment, and I've done this myself. When you shift in the moment, when you just say, when I see situations that look a little interesting or a little crazy, I say to myself, or the higher part of me says, I'm not going to feed that. So when I know that, when I feel myself uttering those or hear myself uttering those words, I know it's a done deal. I know then I've surrendered the situation to spirit, and it's going to be resolved. So if you want to get a record deal, if you want to get a book publishing deal, in all the texts, religious texts, they tell you, ask and you shall receive. So even though you may be older, your time isn't up until the Creator says it is up. You can still get a contract, or better still, you can produce your own music or your own books, because there's so many people now, particularly because we're living longer. And 60 is the new 40, 70 is the new 50. So people have a new perspective about life. So you can create, as I mentioned earlier, as many careers as you want, no matter what people have to say. You know, if you're in your 50s or in your 60s, some people think, okay, I'm going to retire and travel, and that's it. And I think that's wonderful if that's what you want to do. But if you want to start a new career, start a new career. So it's never too late. And there's always someone who wants what you have, because the universe works itself out like that. So if you believe that and you put that out to the universe, then if you are a new artist or an older artist and you state to the universe that you want to have a thriving music career, everything will line up to support that. Everything will line up to support that. That has happened in my own life. When I make a claim and I get in alignment with what it is, I don't make a claim and then step out of it. Say, for instance, if you want to be a successful writer, you just state that. I am a successful writer. I see my books on the best-selling list. I see my books in all the stores, the major stores, bookstores. I am so happy that I'm autographing all of copies of my books. Just start claiming that and writing that and scripting that and writing that. And the same thing with the entertainment industry in terms of if you're a recording artist, if you want to be very successful in that genre, just write. State what you want. It has nothing to do with the economy. It has nothing to do with anything except your desire. What we spend most of our time doing is spending time talking about visualizing and talking ourselves out of our dream because we think we can never achieve it for whatever reason. We're not the right age, the right color, the right height, living in the right part of the city, whatever. We put all those shits up, I mean, those blocks up. And so the universe has to say, okay, I was going to give Hamida X number of dollars to fulfill her dream, but she said she is too young for that to happen, or that she's too old for that to happen, or she doesn't have enough contacts. And so the universe says, okay, I have to support her belief. So regardless of what's going on outside of us, it doesn't really matter. It really matters what's going on within us, inside. And once we align those dreams with positive truth, there's only one reality, and that's truth. Everything else we as a human race have concocted. It's a race consciousness. We all gather together and talk about how bad the economy is or how bad this is and whatever. So the universe has to always support and reinforce those beliefs. So what I'm doing now this evening is talking with you and asking you to shift for the remainder of 2014. We have four more months. For you to shift and to see yourselves as being limitless, powerful, empowered, awesome, wonderful and just full of grace, and everything is flowing for you in divine time and in divine order. Just see yourself in that light. See yourself as very, very successful. See yourself as being very competent. See yourself as being very skilled. See yourself as having an audience that not only wants but is pleased to have whatever you have to offer. Just see yourself in that light. And you know what will happen? That everything that you desire will come true to you because you're no longer in the way. You're no longer blocking it. So, but you have to see yourself the way that the creative source sees you. And when man tells you that you're too old or you're too whatever, that is not in alignment with divine truth. But if you believe it to be so, then it will become so. And then people will say to God, God, why is it that this didn't happen? And it's because we have some belief, some erroneous belief, that God played out within our outer worlds. So if you're in the entertainment industry, if you're in any other industry or career and you desire to be successful, you just claim it. And start being around people who are in that particular industry who are successful themselves. You know, as Kendall had mentioned too, a lot of times people are dealing with their friends and getting advice from their friends who lack the expertise, the knowledge, and the information about the career that you're pursuing. But they follow them and listen to them. And to their chagrin, later on in life, they find out that they have shortchanged themselves. So if you want to be a successful entertainer, vocalist, whatever, start being in the energy of that. Seek out someone who is local within your town or city that is successful as a vocalist and see if you can have a relationship, a friendship with that person. And so then you can observe that person up close and personal. And then you can, then that, in fact, becomes your reality. So even though you haven't had voice lessons and all those other things, you are now placing yourself in the energy of what you want. You want to be successful as an entertainer, so you're now encountering more successful entertainers. And when you start with one person who's an entertainer and you get that all of your energy, then another person will show up. And you'll see, pretty soon you'll be surrounded by people who are very, very successful, who are vocalists, who can be role models for you to get you to where you need to be. And you haven't compromised yourself. You haven't sold your soul to get there. Because what you've done is you've done the flip. You've done the opposite. You have seen yourself as successful. You have seen yourself as being talented. You have seen yourself as being valued. You have seen yourself as being honored. You have seen yourself as being appreciated. You have seen yourself as being loved. So once you see yourself in those areas with those attributes and you give all of your energy to that, all of that, you only focus on those truths. You don't focus on anything that is not in alignment with divine truth. So then it's no longer, then it becomes a walking living agent as opposed to a book that's static with no energy and no power, and you're practicing things that are not relevant to your experience today. So a lot of people, like I've told people, they use the religious texts, the Bible, the Quran, the Torah, as if they're reciting in Sunday school. They go to church, they recite the inspirational 23rd Psalm and some other scriptures. And then after they leave church or after they've recited the scriptures, they go right back to doubt and to stating everything that is not going to make them feel good. So we either are going to believe the Most High, or as my accountability partner for my metaphysics class states, We're going to believe the Most High God or our circumstances. But we cannot believe both. And most people are trying to believe both. They go to their religious institutions once a week, and they are very energized and charged. And then once they're outside of the mosque or the temple or the church or whatever, the synagogue, once they're home, they go back into default. So they start doubting and not trusting. Same thing with your career or your dream. You only need to ask for assistance from the Most High and then just get out of the way. Because once you ask and surrender, you don't have to compromise your integrity. You don't have to do things that are unethical. You don't have to do things that are illegal. You don't have to do things that make you restless and not be able to sleep at night, because the Most High God, Allah, Jehovah, in all the religious texts, they tell you don't have to do those things. All you have to do is ask and believe and surrender and the highest version of your desire, not your want. Want represents lack. But the highest version of your desire has to manifest, because you're constantly in that energy of what is promised to you. And the promise within us from our highest self has always said that we deserve the best. And in the text, it is not said, well, when you get to be a certain age, you can just give up on your dream. In Christianity, remember Sarah, who was barren, way past the age of having children, and who had a child in her 90s. So all things are possible. I mean, so it's like if you were in the recording industry and people are telling you, oh, you're too old, you can forget about it. Sarah was in her 90s. So she was, about 50 years beyond menopause. And she gave birth to a son. So whatever's promised to you, whatever the Creator has placed within your heart as a strong desire to pursue in the entertainment industry or in any other industry, give it your best shot. At least when you lay your head on your pillow for the last time, you can say, I tried it, and I'm glad that I did, as opposed to, I wish I had done X and I had done Y, and, you know, so you would have no regrets. You can say that you've tried it and you were successful in it, and whatever you made your attempt in. Or you say, you know, you were not, but you were happy that you pursued it anyway. So if you're in the entertainment industry or if you want to pursue the entertainment industry, don't give up on your dream. There's a market for everything that each of us does. And we don't have to go out there and hunt for it and search for it. We just have to ask the Creator to make it known to us. And we do, most of the work is getting in alignment, just writing out Joyce Reynolds, R-E-N-N-O-L-D-S, who is one of my metaphysical teachers, and she's so excellent. Go to her website, www.joycereynolds.com, and click on the Wisdom tab that's on her website. She shows you how to script. And this is a process that is so excellent. What it does is it has you write in the now what you desire and the end results of what you desire. So if you want to be a lawyer or whatever, you said, I'm so grateful and thankful that I am the best lawyer in this particular field, that I'm winning all my cases. You just state it in the present. And there are people who have done that, myself included, who have had phenomenal things turn around. You can turn around your health with scripting, and it's making the Bible become a living document, the Torah a living document, the Quran a living document. All of those spiritual and metaphysical and religious texts become relevant to you because you're not just doing the recitation that you would do for an Easter speech. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, people know that by heart, but they don't believe the different gifts that are given via the Lord's Prayer. People are doing it in remote control. It's just like, okay, you turn on the television, turn on remote control, you're just flipping through channels, and that's how the brain is. It's just giving it back. But there's no passion connected to it. There's no insight connected to it. There's no belief in it. So, therefore, what happens is people blame God for their not being able to manifest, and when it has nothing to do with God, because the Most High always says yes. It's a belief in the lack. We're focusing on what we don't want, and that has to come. That has to become manifest. So if you believe that you're too old, the Most High God has not said that, but if you believe in a race consciousness that you're too old, then you become too old. If you believe that you're too light, too dark, too heavy, too whatever, then the universe has to support you, because the creative source does not override your will. So in the entertainment industry, if you are a budding artist, if you're new and you're a budding artist and you want to get your work out there, set your intention. Set your intention. Script. Write out your life in that field as you would have it be, and then release it. You write it out and give thanks for it. And we are no longer going to allow race consciousness, which is the consciousness of everybody on the planet, to dictate to us what we can do it, what we can or cannot do in the entertainment industry, what we can or cannot do and in any field in which we are interested. We're no longer going to allow that to happen. So this show this evening was to highlight the entertainment industry. I've never had an entertainment lawyer on before. Last week we had a Professor Larry Watson, who talked about, gave some information about his political views and about being in alignment with your dream, and just staying focused and not having people dictate to you your future. He talked about the different icons and how they had paved the way for a lot of young people today. So we're having conversations with people that are well-known, that are giving you very, very good information, excellent information to have the best life, in the best careers that you can have. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. An attorney mentor was showing you how not to do that, and to look and what pitfalls to look out for, so you don't repeat the same patterns and mistakes that people who've gone before you have made, because we don't have to do that any longer. So if you want to get in touch with the attorney mentor again, his email address is Cam, K-A-M as in man, law, L-A-W, at AOL.com. And for those of you who would like to hear his information again, feel free after 9 o'clock today to click on the link and you can hear the archived show. So I am so thankful and appreciative to each and every one of you. As always, you are so wonderful as an audience, and please, please, please continue to listen to us and to stay tuned to future shows. It is my purpose and my intention to enlighten, to make the world a better place, and I have received numerous blessings, so I want to continue to impart my knowledge and to give back to the planet some of the things that I've received. So until next time, I wish you a wonderful, wonderful week, and enjoy everything. Stay in the moment of the now and see everything as a blessing. As Florence Scovel Shinn says, no man is your teacher. I mean, no man is your enemy. No man is your friend. Translate to person. So no person is your enemy. No person is your friend. But each person is your teacher. So every experience, no matter how painful it is here to show us something about life. So thank you so very much. And until next week, have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful week. Take care.
nobody. 'Cause I know that spirit guides me, and love lives inside me. That's why the day I take life as it comes.